Good evening. Let's all stand. Take your songbook. Turn to page number 280. 280. Get our Christmas carol out.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and
to celebrate it. Be ever mindful, ever prayerful, ever thankful that God seemed fit to send his son into a lost and a dying world to die for our sins. Amen. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day and your blessings. Thank you for just a meeting we had just a few minutes ago. And Lord, just for the good counsel, Father, that we sought and we found. And Lord, just help us, God, to do what's right and pleasing in your sight. We just pray that you'd be in our midst in our service tonight. Help us, God, to honor you, to glorify you, to uplift you in everything that we say and do. And Father, we just pray, God, that your will would be done in each heart and each life tonight. Help us to be obedient, submitted, and Lord, willing to do whatever it is that you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. Another song, Brother Jim.
Okay, should have had this one this morning. Page 32. Alto, sing out, please.
Sometimes when misgivings darken the day and faith's light I cannot see, I ask my dear Lord to brighten the way. He whispers sweet peace to me. Yes, he whispers to me. See the right way to go when temptations o'er me roll. Yes, he whispers to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in spirit and soul, he
my faith is weak. And then when I ask him to take command, it seems that I hear him speak. Yes, he whispers to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in spirit and soul, he whispers sweet peace to me. He speaks in a still small voice, we are told, a voice that dispels all fear. And when I'm in doubt or troubled in soul, that still small voice I can hear. Yes, he whispers to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in spirit and soul, he whispers sweet peace to me.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thankful for each one that's made their way back tonight. I know winter is here. It feels like winter. Amen. And I've been debating on whether to fire the coal boiler up, but then every time I got ready to start thinking about it, it would get back up in the 70s again, and then and we get so sweltering in the house, we're opening the doors and the windows and everything. And I think it's about time to light that bad boy up. Amen. And he makes the house just feel so warm and toasty. I love it. But we're just thankful to be back in God's house and thankful that we don't have to meet out in the woods and we don't have to sit outside somewhere. We have a nice place and a nice meeting house, a warm building that the Lord has given us to come and to gather in. So as we gather here tonight, let's just get our hearts and minds set on him. Remember those that have lost loved ones recently and going through the holiday season, some for the first time since losing loved ones. And it's always a difficult time, so pray for them. Many of you knew Miss Pat Wright. She would come and help David and Susan for many years. She came and helped them do the Christmas dinner that we did. And she passed away this week. She had a stroke and had another massive stroke when she got in the hospital and passed away, I think it was on Tuesday. And be having funeral services for her this Tuesday. So pray for her family as we do this service and here at the holiday season. At they know she's in heaven. They know she loved the Lord, and she was a Christian, but it's hard. So just pray for them and pray for God's comfort. Pray for our folks that are dealing with cancer. Keep Sister Tanya in your prayers. And if she just comes to your mind, just to stop and whisper a prayer for Sister Tanya. Anytime she comes to mind, anytime you see a post, anytime the Lord just lays her on her heart. And same way with all these folks, amen. Just stop and whisper a prayer. We don't have to get, sometimes we think our prayers have got to be some big, long, drawn-out thing. And some of the greatest prayers in the Bible were just simple. Amen? Just a few words. And just pray. I think Nehemiah, he's one of the people I admire in the Bible. He faced all kinds of problems and all kinds of difficulties. And he was constantly just praying to God. And they weren't long, drawn-out prayers and big orations. They were just simple prayers. God, you know the evil they intend against me. And deal with them. You know, God, you know the help I need. Just send it, as you know. You know, just simple prayers. And we can do that when we think of one another. But keep Sister Tanya in your prayers in a special way. And just remember her, Miss June McClay. Keep Pastor Donnie Cogdill in your prayers. Vince Van Blarkum, Donna Kirkland, Virginia Ashbury, Cindy Mullins asks us to pray for a 9-year-old boy with cancer. Keep Sister Pearl Horn in cancer in prayer. She got blood cancer. Donna Andrews, Sister Jackie's sister, keep her in prayer. Renee Williams, Jeannie Sizemore, Amanda Burton, a young lady named Nicole, Erica Halt, Nancy Wood, Judy Calvert, all these are dealing with cancer and are facing cancer one way or the other. Then these have heart issues and heart problems. Mr. Phelps, very serious heart problems. Pray for him. Mark Wilson, Sister Mary's cousin, pray for him. He's got heart problems as well. Keep Brother Jack in your prayers as he's in congestive heart failure and stays in a state of congestive heart failure and just the blood count's low. He's just, his health is just failing. And this body, the Bible says that we're in, is corruptible. And That word just means that it's going to deteriorate. It's going to fall away, and that's what it's doing. But pray for Brother Jack, and just pray for God's grace and his mercy on his life, and pray for Mama and Randy, and just pray that God just keeps them all in the palm of his hands and just lets them feel his presence as they deal with all this. Keep Brother Paul Mullins in your prayers. He deals with the back pain. Stan and Reba still dealing with their problems, but they're here. It's good to see them in the parking lot. And Brother Stanley, tell me, still the same problems, but we're here. And I'm thankful for that. Al Christian, pray for him with the blood clots. Sister Fitzgerald, blood clots. Brother Tom Bender, his diabetes and congestive heart failure with him as well. John Ballou called us and asked us to please remember him in a very special way. He's in severe back pain. They're giving him enough pain medicines to knock a moose out, and he's still uncomfortable. And they had to take him to the hospital a few days ago. The ambulance had to come and get him and take him to the hospital. And every time they tried to touch him, it was just excruciating pain. He finally had to tell him, just, you know, you're just going to have to move me. He was outside. He got to hurt, and then he sat down in the chair, and then he couldn't get back up. And he said, you're just going to have to do what you got to do and just ignore my scream and just do what needs to be done to move me. And they had to take him to the hospital. They believe that the stimulator that they put in his back may have shifted, and it might be laying on a nerve itself. They're getting another CAT scan done to find out for sure what it is. But he asked us to please pray for him in a very special way, and I told him we would. So keep Brother John in your prayers. Keep my daughter in your prayer. Had good news. She said the pocket that was behind her eye, she was looking, and it's disappeared. She's got to go see the optometrist again. But it's an answer to prayer. Amen. And thank God for that. And just continue to pray for her. Continue to pray for Charles. Had surgery Friday. And just pray that the surgery was a success. Pray for the pain that he's in. He says he's been having a lot of pain from it. Keep Marie LaFeu in your prayer. She's in the hospital. She's tested positive for COVID. And she said she feels worse every minute that goes by. She just feels that much worse. And she's just really, really in bad shape, and she's asked us to really pray for her. So keep her in prayer in a special way. Pray for Pam's cousin Dawn, had a stroke. Archie Newby had a stroke. Pray for his spiritual needs as well, more important than the physical, I believe. Debbie Ross with the stroke, Kelly Stewart, mini stroke. Brother Steve's dad, Brother T.E. McGill, to keep his diabetes under control, his cognitive functions, and they've recovered from the COVID, so we thank God for that. Timmy McMillan, kidney failure, he's on dialysis, failing health. Just keep him in your prayer. Ashley Sampson has the seizures and blood clots, and continuing, keep praying for her. Miss Ashley Tabb, keep her in your prayers. The Halls family have all tested positive for the COVID. On top of everything else they're facing, the whole family has the COVID. So pray for them as well. And then Vicki and Ethan Karshner both have the COVID. So pray for them. Keep Shane Luker in your prayer, a friend of someone that Jackie knew and told us about. But keep him in prayer as well. And then the general health issues that we pray for, Miss Tammy Langford, Fela, Bob Sabinski, Randy Mullins, Mrs. Wilson, Donnie McMillan, Harvey and Sally Walls and the friends at the Senior Center, and they lost one of their friends this week, and I know it hit him hard, but he knows we're praying for him, and that means a lot to him. Anna Meck, Mitchell Berlin, Nancy Tyler, Mrs. Cadle, and Miss Beulah Bowman, remember them in prayer. Then the Halls family, remember them with the baby being born with anencephaly and will die soon after birth. Keep Gus LaFeu in your prayers in a very special way, if you would. Miss Trish Deaver, Sandy Wainwright, keep the McGills in prayer for their children. They ask us to pray for their children. Joyce Gillies asks us to remember her. Sister Connie asks us to remember her friend Cecilia. Pray for her. Miss Joan Patrick asks us to remember her daughter Leslie. Pray for her. April Rock asks us to pray for her and her family. Brother Billy's asks us to remember his brother Andy Harmon for health and PTSD issues that he's dealing with. The Simpkins have asked us to keep Joe in prayer. Keep Lonnie McMillan in your prayers. He deals with depression. Pray for those. those that could come to church but don't and won't. I pray for Charlie Karshner. Joyce asked us to remember him this morning. Keep him in your prayers. These have asked us to pray for lost family and friends. Debbie Stanley, Eileen Mullins, Daniel Anderson, Joe Gonzalez, L. Van Blarkham. He asked us to pray especially for his daughter Lisa, Marie LaFeu, Nancy Tyler, Delbert Collins, Kit Ray. She's asked us to pray specifically for her stepson Joshua and her son Aaron to get saved. Joanne Gillies asked us to pray specifically for her son Billy Harmon to get saved. And then remember our essential workers, our medical professionals, first responders. Remember our nation. Remember the Hoovers that are traveling. Remember this COVID-19 deal. And then remember, I asked you on Wednesday night to pray for Sister Sherry's friend from work that felt that she had taken COVID home from work, and her grandparents were both infected with it. The grandfather has died, and they said the grandmother is going to die. The grandfather died today, and the grandmother is going to die, and now her father has it as well. So pray for this young lady and pray for her family as they go through this trial, that it might help them to be drawn to the Lord and to find the comfort in the midst and in the presence of the God of all comfort. Amen. And God can do what no one else can do. And just remember all these special needs that have been brought before us in prayer. Who come to sing tonight? You always want to get out of here, don't you? Huh? All right, well, Deb, come on. We'll do Little Star. Our beautiful star, Bethlehem Jackie. Come on, what? I learned to play guitar just like this. Played with Brother Jim Allen and Bob Thompson and some other folks, and I knew about two or three chords, and they'd get me up there and they'd start and they'd sing a song in some chord I'd never heard of or seen before. And I'd ask old Bob Thompson, "What in the world did you do that for?" And he said, "Boy, there ain't nothing going to make you learn any quicker than be in front of people and have to figure it out." Number six, right? Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star,
beautiful
star of Bethlehem,
shine upon us until the glory dawn.
Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, and into the light of perfect day,
it will give out a perfect ray. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on.
Oh, beautiful Star,
beautiful Star
of Bethlehem,
Star of Bethlehem,
shine upon us until the glory,
glory dawn.
Oh, give us thy light to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Beautiful Star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won,
is won.
Oh, Jesus is now the flower divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful Star,
beautiful Star
of Bethlehem,
Star of Bethlehem,
shine upon us until the
glory, glory dawn.
Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on. Like that old song. I miss Brother Stanley a lot when we sing a lot of them old songs. It's been a blessing to me. Turn in your Bibles tonight into Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 8. Just a few verses tonight in the midst of the Christmas story. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. Our Father, we thank you for another opportunity to gather in your house tonight. And we thank you for another privilege of being able to look into your word. And Father, as we look to your word tonight, we just pray, God, that you would stir our hearts as we look again at another one of the aspects of the Christmas story, Father, that helps us, God, just to be encouraged and emboldened, Father, and ready, God, to serve you and do what's pleasing in your sight and pleasing unto you, Father, in all that we do. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the perfect gift, the unspeakable gift, the greatest gift that has ever been given. And Father, help us to honor him in all that we do here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, we say amen. As the shepherds are startled and amazed by the angels as they began to minister to them, they're reminded of something right here in verse number 10 that we need to really grasp and not lose sight of. The joy of Christmas. Amen. The joy of Christmas isn't the Christmas trees and all the things that are going on. The joy of Christmas is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the joy of Christmas. He is the very joy of the world. He is the joy of our lives. And He is the joy that abounds in our hope, the joy that abounds in our peace, the joy that abounds in our tribulations, the joy that keeps us focused and that keeps us going when we stop and think about just what Jesus was and just what Jesus is. He is the Savior of the world. Sometimes you get gifts that you didn't really realize that you needed. Someone gives you something and you never had one before. Anybody ever been that way? You never had one before and somebody give it to you and then you wondered how you ever live without it. Amen? How you ever got by without it. It was the perfect gift. They couldn't have given you any better of a gift. And that's just exactly what Jesus was. He was the perfect gift to a lost and a dying world that didn't realize that they needed a Savior. God sent a Savior. To the Gentiles, the Jews were looking for the Messiah, but they weren't looking for the Savior of the spiritual man. They were looking for the Savior of the physical man. But God gave them both. One day He will conquer all His enemies. One day all His enemies will cease to exist. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. But He's given us a spiritual victory. He's given us a spiritual hope. He's given us spiritual peace. He's given us joy. And tonight we want to look for just a few minutes. We've looked at the hope of Christmas. We've looked at the peace of Christmas. And let's look tonight here for just a few minutes at the joy of Christmas and the things that the Bible tell us about joy that surrounds Jesus and surrounding His ministry and His work in this world and His work in our lives. First, we understand that the joy that was given was a growing joy. It wasn't just a joy that stayed isolated and stayed in one little place. It wasn't just a joy that was given unto the shepherds and they kept it to themselves. It wasn't just given to Mary and Joseph and they hid it and they hid Jesus away and kept Him to themselves. It was a joy that was proclaimed. It was a joy that began to multiply almost immediately as soon as Jesus was born. You can't keep something that good quiet for that long. It was a joy that grew, and it grew. And when the shepherds heard about it, they went and told others. And when others heard about it, they went and told others. And pretty soon, the word was noised about of what had happened in the stable in Bethlehem. And great joy ensued because of the birth of this child. It was a growing joy. In John chapter 15, verses number 11 to 13. Now, most of you know, if you want to turn into John 15, while you're turning, most of you know what John 15 is. It's the chapter about the vine and about the fruitful vine, about the vine that multiplies, the vine that grows. Amen. the vine that has purpose and has a use, and there's branches on the vine that don't produce, and they don't grow and they don't flourish, and the Bible says they're cut away and they're cast into the fire. And that's what happens so many times in Christian lives. How we get to where we're no use to the Lord anymore, and we've ceased to do what He's called us to do. We've ceased to grow spiritually. We've ceased to produce fruit. Amen. How does a church grow? It produces fruit. Amen. How does it produce fruit? Well, it's not just the pastor's job. It's all the branches' jobs. Who are the branches? Can you all raise your hand? Can everybody raise their hand? Amen. They're, get their hand up, Pam. You're a branch. Amen. She's sitting there trying to stay warm. Done got called out in church. Oh my. Amen. We're all the branches. We all bear the responsibility to bear fruit. Amen. And it's our purpose. And Jesus is talking about the branch, and He's talking about the vine and how fruitful it needs to be. And then in verse number 11, He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." See, the way that we have joy in our Christian walk and in our spiritual life, and the way that we have joy in honoring the joy that comes to us because of Christmas is to grow and to produce fruit. Amen. But look at what happens here in chapter 15, verse 11. He says my joy might remain in you and my joy might be full. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." I'm going to stop reading right there. You see what happens when joy begins to grow, when we have a joy in Jesus, when we have a joy in salvation. Then we begin to love other people, and we want other people to have the same joy that we have. Amen. He's talking about the vine and about the fruitful vine and the vine being able to flourish and to produce fruit. And that's where the joy in the Christian life and the Christian walk comes from. It's joy in our salvation. How many, don't you just joy in the fact that you have salvation because God loved you enough to send His Son to die for you? God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, we didn't deserve it, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, if that don't bring joy to your heart, you're a hard knot. You're a hard case. Amen. It's good to know that we are blessed in salvation and have that peace and that hope within us. And that should bring joy to our hearts, a joy that we want to share with others, a joy that we want others to experience and to know, just like we did. And Jesus said, "No greater love hath any man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." He said, "I've told you these things that my joy might remain in you." Amen. "And I want you to love one another. And I want you to love one another to death. Just like I loved you to death." You know, are you willing to give your all for the cause of Christ? We've got missionaries that we've read of and missionaries that we know that have been on the mission field and have gave their all for the cause of Christ. That the gospel might grow. That the joy of salvation might spread to a lost and a dying world. You know, have you ever stopped and asked your question, am I willing to give my all to Jesus? And to love. Man, think about some of our missionaries and where they're serving at. Stop and think about that for a minute. They're serving in places that we can't even talk about. Amen? Facing dangers that we don't even know. We know of the last one that we had here is a marked man. Amen? He can no longer do what he was doing the way that he was doing it. He has to take a new route. He has to do it a new way. We had others here that have shared how they're able to work in areas where they're working, where it can be a death sentence to be a Christian, to acknowledge that you're a Christian. A dear brother that's in a place right now that they're trying to figure out how they're going to get him out before the government kills him. A joy of salvation, a joy of knowing the Savior that wants to let others know. And the one brother that's under this, he's under house arrest and all this stuff and things. And he told the folks that asked him, "Are you sure you want to do this?" He says, "Hey, I'll do it with you or without you," basically. He said, "Because my family still live in darkness. I want them to know." What's he want them to know? He wants them to know the joy of salvation. A joy that will grow. A joy that will cause you to love somebody to death. He's willing to lay down his life. Jesus said, "I'm willing to lay down my life for you. And I want you to love one another." And here's the deepest expression of love. "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." The greatest expression of love is being willing to sacrifice so that the Christmas story and the Easter story and every story of Jesus in between, the Revelation story, can be told to a lost and a dying world, that a world might know the joy of salvation. It's a growing joy. But then it's also a great joy. The angel said right here in verse number 10, I bring you good tidings of great joy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, Peter says, wherein, and he's talking to the church here. He's talking to the believer here. He's talking to the Christian. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Great joy in times of temptation. Why? Because we know that we've been delivered. We know that we have a deliverer. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need ye be, you're in heaviness. How do you rejoice in the midst of temptation and in the midst of all this heaviness? It's because you have the joy of salvation. You have the joy of Jesus in your heart. You know that you know. He said, and then joy in the trials because you have faith in Jesus, the same Jesus that was born in Bethlehem, the same Jesus that was nailed to an old rugged cross, the same Jesus that was laid in the tomb and rose again, the same Jesus that's ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God. Though in the midst of trials, your faith stands strong because you have joy in knowing you have Jesus. With joy in anticipation of the soon coming Savior. Man, the more we see this world turn to darkness, the more we see this world head in the direction that it's gone, the more we joy in the revelation and in the thought that any day now, Jesus could step out on the eastern sky. The trumpet could sound. The shout could go out. And the church would be raptured. The only thing in the midst of all that that brings heaviness to heart and mind and soul is the many friends and loved ones that we know that aren't saved. Many, many years ago when I was just a kid, they come out with that song, Wait a Little Longer. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. There are so many wandering out in sin. Just a little longer, please, Jesus. Just long enough to get our loved ones in. And, you know, everybody was criticizing, oh man, we shouldn't be telling Jesus what to do, and it's not our place to tell Jesus what to do. I don't think the song was pleading that. The song was just pleading that they're willing to stay here a little bit longer if that's what it takes to get their loved ones saved. Paul said, I'm ready to go. I wish I could go. He said, but it's needful for me to be here. We'll see that in just a few minutes. Amen? But I want you to know something. The anticipation of the rapture is an exciting thing, but it's a joyful thing. It ought to keep our hearts and minds set in the right place and have joy when they tell us the COVID numbers are this and the COVID numbers are that and the COVID. I'm so sick of hearing about COVID. I like preaching about Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm so sick of hearing about the medical. We're believing the science. We're believing and trusting the science. Well, the science is so messed up, the science don't even know what to believe. Doctor this week in Johns Hopkins released a study, and it's a real interesting study, that since COVID and all the COVID deaths have went up, all the other causes of death have dropped dramatically. Did anybody see that? Well, the media put so much pressure on them, and the fact checkers and the watchers, and they didn't want that release. They put so much pressure on Johns Hopkins that Johns Hopkins did not dispute the research, did not dispute the findings, but chose for the cause of letting the narrative go, that they would block the release of the report, they'd make them pull the report back. See, the science don't even add up. Amen? The world doesn't add up. This is just one little aspect of life that we're talking about. Life in general, life as a whole, doesn't add up when you start comparing all the things that are going on. There's nothing that can bring joy in your heart like Jesus can. And anticipating and waiting on Jesus brings greater joy than it does sitting around as we was driving down church night. Just like my wife said, she said, you know, I've made the choice to teach my class. If I catch something and I die, so be it. I'm trusting the Lord. Amen. So be it. I'm doing what I feel that God would have me to do. And I believe that's all of our desires, and that's all of our heart, is just to be faithful unto the Lord. And we can anticipate. The Lord might come and get me tonight. He might come and get her tonight. He might come and get you tonight. You might not die of COVID tonight. You might die of a car wreck going the way home. Amen. But you know what? When he comes to get me, I'm ready to go. Amen. And I can have joy in knowing that whenever he comes and get me, if it's way by the way of the undertaker or by the way of the upper taker, either way it goes, I know where I'm a-going. And I know what my end will be. And the great joy of Christmas, the joy unspeakable and full of glory, is the gift of salvation that God has given unto us. That brings hope, that brings peace, that brings that joy in our heart, irregardless of what's happening. We're satisfied in Jesus. We're at peace in Jesus. And then, not only is it a growing joy and a great joy, but it's a glowing joy. It's a joy that you can't hide. Can you imagine what it was like when them shepherds got to the manger there where Jesus was laid? He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger there in that stable. And the shepherds came and they seen him and they realized who it was that was laying there, because the angels had done told them he is Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. He's the hope of all mankind. He's everything that you've been anticipating, everything that you want. everything that you desire in life can be summed up and wrapped up in Him and in Him alone. And can you imagine leaving that place? And like most Christians, many Christians leave church on Sunday. I'm glad that's over with. Amen. Until tonight. Got to go back. Man, I believe they went away. They had a glow about them. Amen. They had something going on that irregardless of what the situation was, irregardless of what the Romans had decreed, and irregardless of what was happening, they seen something, and they got a hold of something that left a glow on them that all the world would know. Habakkuk, he had that glow about him. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, into Habakkuk chapter number 3, verses 17 to 19, and look at what Habakkuk said. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer on stringed instruments, praise God. I'm glad they liked the stringed instruments back then. Amen. And we still like them today. Habakkuk said, look, if you read the whole chapter, he finds out that God has done told him the Assyrians are coming, and it's going to be horrible. It's going to be bad. They're going to bring a pressure on you like you've never seen, and they're going to cause a dearth throughout the land. They're going to burn the fields. They're going to take all your cattle. They're going to take everything, that you'll have nothing, and you'll be left with nothing. He said, that's all right. They can take it all. They can have it all, and though nothing happens, nothing flourishes, nothing blossoms, nothing blooms, the sheep and the cattle in the field, they don't produce anything. No matter what happens, he said, I still got my God. And he said, I will rejoice in my God. He said, I will joy in the God of my salvation. I want you to know something. The Christian that can go through the trials and the pitfalls of life, can go through the hard times, the rough times, the dark times of life, and still have a glow about them, still have a joy in their heart that the world can see, is the kind of Christians that we need in our churches today. It's the kind of Christians that understand the depth of the Christmas story. Amen. Man, the whole world's falling apart. Nothing's going right. The enemy's coming. Everything we depend upon is failing. Everything's going to go wrong, and everything's not like we hoped it would be and wished it could be. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And that's the way that we need to be as God's people. We sit around, we wring our hands, we worry and we fret, and instead of just saying, well, hey, God's never forsaken me. God's never failed me. Anybody here tell me one time God has failed you? Amen. Can you tell me when God has forsaken you? We can't do it because He said He wouldn't. Amen. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. We have a promise in God's Word, and a hope in God's Word, a peace in God's Word that brings the joy from God's Word. That joy unspeakable and full of glory. That joy that shows through in the midst. Man, I have books of quotes, different ones, and some of them I like better than others. Some of them I got packed away. I never unpacked them after we moved. But some of the things that were said of Christians, some of the things that were reported by Roman soldiers who witnessed Christians that were being put to death in various ways. And it just sticks out to me. They don't die like other people. When the men said, these Christians, they don't die like other people. They die singing. They die praising their God. He said, they die happy. Now think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. If someone walked in here and told you, well, all you Christians, we're going to shoot you because you're Christians. How many of you would just start screaming and just freaking out and going crazy? They had the building surrounded. You knew there was nothing they could do. How many of you would start just praising God? The Hebrew children, they didn't freak out when Nebuchadnezzar told them they were going into the fiery furnace. In Africa right now, in Nigeria, northern Nigeria especially, we've seen where the Muslims have come in and have surrounded churches that have gathered for worship. And they lock the doors and they set the building on fire. Nobody wants to die. I'm not saying we should desire death, but if death is imminent, let's go out with a glow. Amen. Let's go out praising God. Let's go out shouting glory. That we were esteemed worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. That's the kind of joy that's a glowing joy. When the world looks down on you and they see that you're still happy, that's a glowing joy. When the world is criticizing you, but you just keep on smiling, that's a glowing joy. When I first started working for Amtrak, they wanted a name, a nickname. They said, we gotta come up with a name for you, man. I was tall and skinny. I mean, looked like a zipper. Yeah. I said, well, you might as well call me Blade. They said, why Blade? I said, that's what my brother-in-law and his friends call me. They said, I'm so skinny, I look like a blade of grass. They said, that sticks. Well, after a while, one guy in particular told me, he says, you're always smiling. You always got that smile on your face. You're always happy. And they couldn't understand that because I had the Lord, and I knew the Lord, that I could be happy. Man, I was happy. I had a good job. Man, they don't know where I had just come from. Amen. I come off an assembly line at a working piece rate. Amen. If you wanted to make a living, you run. You know, you didn't walk in the plant and the buzzer rang. When the buzzer rang, you were expected to be at your workstation ready to go to work. I built work for Schultz. We built mobile homes. And I mean, I'm talking about literally, we stapled floor down. It sounded like machine guns going off. I mean, you just run across the deck backwards because the only way you made money was to work fast. It was working piece rate. I went to Amtrak, and man, I told them guys, I said, the hardest day I ever worked here, still the best job I ever had. Amen. I worked in insulation. You had to throw that insulation. My wife can tell you the doctors couldn't do nothing with it. My arms just broke out, almost raw from handling the insulation, even wearing long sleeve shirts in the middle of the summer and just miserable and throwing that insulation in them floors and junk and just getting it. I just eat up with it and just in your nose, making you cough and choke up. And I mean, just nasty. But you did it. You run because it's the only way you made money. Man, I was happy. The Lord had blessed me with a good job. You're always smiling. Why not? Man, you got all these blessings of life. Why not be smiling? Why not let that be your testimony? The world say, look at that person. They're always happy. They're always smiling. They always got a smile. He said, we should have called you Smiley. I said, well, we'll just stick with Blade. One handle's enough. Amen. One's enough. But we ought to have a joy within us that makes us glow to a lost and a dying world. Boss comes and, yeah, I'm going to do this. And everybody's moaning and complaining. Yeah, that's, okay. Hey, that's an easy day. What you smiling about? We got to go do this. What's the big deal? We're getting paid to do it. You know what I mean? We're getting paid to be here. Amen. It's good. It's a great job. Smile. God has blessed you with things. Smile. Amen. God's blessed you with a great family, a great home, a great job. Smile. God has given you good health. I don't care even if you have problems. At least you got medical problems. At least you live in a country where you have access to the greatest medical professionals in the world. Smile. Smile. You got something to be happy about. You should have that glowing joy about you, like Habakkuk had said. Even though everything I've depended on goes south and is destroyed, he said, I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord, and I have joy in the God of my salvation. You got Jesus, you should have joy. You lose everything, you should still have joy because you have Jesus. And if you have salvation, you should have joy, because you can never lose your salvation. Amen. But then lastly, there's a going joy that Jesus gives unto us. Philippians 1, 21 to 24. The Bible says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, and I've talked to a lot of Christians about that lately. We have got in the habit of saying, well, how you doing? Well, I'm still on this side of the sod, so I guess it don't get any better than that. Well, stop and think about that. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Amen. Sometimes we don't realize what we're saying. Amen. I'm here because God needs me here. Why does God need me here? God needs me here the same reason he needs you here, to tell others about Jesus. To let others see a glowing joy about us because of our salvation. Amen? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Amen? But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. We can joy in death if we understand it like Paul did. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To get the reality of the fact that when we close our eyes in death here, we open our eyes in the presence of Jesus. Yes, it does get better. The grave isn't the end. The grave doesn't have a claim. It might hold this old tabernacle, this old temple in which I dwell, but it can't hold me, and it can't keep me from Jesus. It does get better. And we serve until Christ is done with us. Paul said, I don't get to choose. It's God that chooses. He said, I'm in a strait. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it's needful for me to be here. We can have a joy in the prospect of dying. We can have a joy in knowing that we've done what we're supposed to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. And I always like to mention this. I always like to say this. He didn't say the time of my demise, the time of my death. He said, the time of my departure. I don't know if they had already come and given him his execution date. Or maybe this is the last thing he's writing before they chop his head off. They give him a few minutes to scribble some things, and somebody's there helping him, and they're writing his last thoughts and his last words down here before they take him to the chopping block. But Paul's last thing, he says, the time of my departure is at hand. He wasn't planning on ending. He was planning on moving. Amen. I believe the Apostle Paul had joy. Legend says that when they brought Paul out of the prison to execute him, that he ran to the chop block and laid his neck down. He was ready to go. Why was that? Because he knew that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because he knew that joy that could shine through and show through and everything. And even in the midst of his the parting letter, he had a joy in knowing that he was going to a better place. He knew what awaited him. He knew the rewards. He knew the place. But more importantly, he knew who was waiting for him on the other side. If you don't have that kind of joy, if you fear death that much, that you're afraid to die, you need to maybe come and ask Jesus to give you some peace about it. Amen. We're all going to die if the Lord tarries his coming, one way or the other. I preach funerals for babies. I preach funerals for little children. I preach funerals for teenagers. I preach funerals for middle-aged moms and dads, young moms and dads. I preach funerals for old people. I preach funeral for Miss Grace, and I think she was 99 years old. She hadn't reached 100. Just missed being 100. You see, we're all going to die. But being ready to die, having peace in your heart about death, is the way to die and the way to prepare for death. Unto you a Savior is born. We have been given the gift of God's salvation, a gift that brings great joy in our hearts and lives, because we know that when we have Him, we have everything. When we have Him, we don't need to fear. When we have Him, we don't need to dread to be absent from the bodies, present with the Lord. That assurance is a joyful thought to the child of God. The joy of Christmas is the joy of knowing what Jesus has done for you and me. The Savior, he came to pay our sin debt. He came to deliver us from the curse of sin. And if you know Him, and if you've made Him your Savior, you have joy like the world can't comprehend. A joy like the world can never know. That joy unspeakable and full of glory. And tonight, as we stand to our feet, we've preached to you about hope. We've preached to you about peace. We preached to you tonight about joy. And I wonder tonight if you're here and maybe you're missing out on these things because you don't know Him. You've never made Him your Savior. And maybe with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, tonight you would slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm fearful of dying because I don't know where I'm going. Or maybe you're fearful of dying because you know that you're not saved and you know there's a place called hell and there's only two places to go, heaven or hell. And you know that if you was to die tonight, you'd split hell wide open. And you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. Pastor, I have never asked Jesus into my heart. Pray for me. Pray for me. I want this joy. I want this peace. I want this hope that Christmas brings into our lives. And help me to understand this. I'm not going to come to you, embarrass you, and point you out in any way. I just want to pray for you. Is there one tonight? Christian friend, maybe you're here. Maybe there's some things that have robbed you of your joy, and you've got things in your life that are hindering your joy, and your joy is not glowing. It's not showing through like it should. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me tonight. Pray for me tonight. I want my joy to be a glowing joy. I want it to be a joy that other people see and want to have and want to know. Pastor, pray for me. Maybe you're here tonight, and before we dismiss tonight, you just got a burden in your heart, a burden that is affecting you, and you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I've just got a burden. I've got a trial. I've got a problem. I just got something that I want you to pray with me about, and you want to slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'll pray with you about it. Amen. Brother Jim Cato, would you pray for us tonight?